Go to Matthew chapter 17 tonight. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Grab some water. I got a question for you tonight. I know we got several people out tonight and everything, but I got a question for you. Does anybody in here need greater faith?
Yes.
Just two of you. Amen. Amen. From the sound room. Greater faith. Greater faith. I want to jump into a topic tonight, and I'm kind of coming a little bit out of my John series, and I'll jump back into that. There's some things, but I felt to preach around faith tonight, and so I'm gonna jump into this thing pretty hot and pretty hard here. So Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. It says, the word of God says, "You believing a perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. And when he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, that's always on time, Father, even in my own life. And it's always on time. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even as the word of God is preached tonight, may we grab a hold of the revelation that nothing is impossible for those that love Jesus. And nothing will be impossible as long as faith is activated in our life. Father, I thank you for your word. It is power. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for faith. Lord, I pray that God, even out of this house tonight, and even out of this word tonight, that there would be an increase of faith, Lord, upon every person here tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, I want you to, something good to underline in your Bible is nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's a very strong word, and it's something that Jesus, I don't believe it was out of context, because he's saying nothing. And, you know, can I tell you what nothing implies? Nothing means all. Nothing means everything. That nothing will be impossible for you. So you go in tonight to just looking that in the Word of God, you'll find that. Things are possible for the believer. Amen. And that includes all things. Amen. So I think about the word all and how it's mentioned in the Bible at different times that, you know, he healed all of my diseases. Amen. How many did he heal? He healed all of them. Amen. So I hold fast to a faith that Jesus can do all things. Amen. You know, he's the author and finisher of our faith. It's going to be important tonight that you see this, because you have to fix your eyes on where it comes from, though. And you have to have a fixation on where faith comes into a person, and how you can relate to faith and the activation of faith in your life. Praise God. You know, but nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing is impossible. You know, I heard Pastor Josh talking about this a couple weeks ago, and he made a comment to the pastors, and we were in meetings with him, and he said just out of our house, he said it's important. He said it's important that you do two things as were your spiritual headships. He said that you listen to the doctor and that you listen to me, that you listen to the preaching of the word as your pastors and ministers under kings. And I said, you know what? And I always have. And I got to catch up a few messages on Dr. Morocco, but I do. I listen to some other people as well, but I do listen to them, because I know that as a church, one of the things that God is doing, he's increasing the faith level throughout Kings. I'm telling you, there are things that are happening. God is moving by faith through people, and you're seeing just great multiplication. But you know, one of the things he said was, which was a very, very fascinating thing, that you know, faith, what it does, faith makes heroes out of ordinary people. Ordinary people, just like you and I. Just you know, I've seen faith come on people in here for the miraculous, for the supernatural, for a healing, for multiple things. But you know what faith does? Faith will come on an ordinary person, somebody that just says, you know, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe what the word. It's like when you see that in the scriptures, even in Malachi 3, test me in this and see if I won't. See, people begin, what they did was they developed a belief in God and said, you know what, I'm going to try God at His Word. And that's the one place even in the Bible where it says, test me. In Malachi chapter 3, where even around your tithe and offering. I'm not preaching about that tonight, but I want you to grab a hold of something tonight, that God's Word is true. God's Word is true, and you can take this Word and you can apply it. Amen? And listen, even as a pastor, there are things that I need to do to apply the Word to situations, to shake things, to make things happen, even in my own life. Amen? But we can do that. We can do that. You know, I thought about this in Acts chapter 4, 13. Just go ahead and go there real quick. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Because faith makes heroes out of ordinary people. And I'll get into the text of this scripture tonight. Acts 4, 13. Reading this out, I believe it's NIV, actually. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were going to smell like the same people. You're not going to smell like the same you. You're not going to look like the same you. You're going to look brand new. Amen. Jesus is working on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in Acts 4:13, you know, you'll see, it says, see, Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with whom? Who were they with? They were with Jesus. So you know, how does faith make a person come alive? It's the time that they spend with Jesus. They had been with these ordinary men. What's different about them? They had been with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They had been with Jesus. See, you know what? Jesus is this. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. They had been, you know, in a physical sense, they had been with Jesus. These are ordinary men. And you know, you think about it, you know, they also received, in Acts chapter 2, you'll see that they received power. They were endued with power. Amen. I'm not going to preach about that tonight, but these are game changers for a Christian. These are game changers for a believer. You want to talk about greater faith. It's, you know, I think sometimes, like, you know, you want to talk about walking and believing and confessing greater faith over your life. Guess what you got to do? You got to spend a little more time with Jesus. Maybe not a little more. How about a lot more? How about more time? And see, that's the thing about exercising faith. You have to position yourself to exercise faith. Faith is a muscle. You know, you don't go to the gym in the areas of faith, you'll get flabby. You'll get flabby. You guys with me? Because you know, that's what, if you don't exercise that muscle called faith, you'll get saggy. You know, my arms, I haven't been in the gym for a little bit. Honestly, you can tell when you're out of the gym for at least, you know, you're out of the gym for 2 weeks. You know, because, you know, you can sit around and you can flex your tricep, you know, you kind of like that. And it, you know, because it doesn't take long to build up triceps in the gym, right? Anybody with me? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It doesn't take long. You can get that form back and, you know, you can just kind of, you can stand here and you can kind of flex and you got that tricep mark down through there. But when you quit going to the gym for 2 or 3 weeks, you want to wear long shirts because you don't want that flab showing. So, you know, it's the same thing. You have to, anything that you want to do, anything that you want to accomplish, anything that you want to do is going to take something, and it's going to take faith, and it's going to take a commitment from you. Anything you do in life takes a commitment from you. Anything. But see, back to what I said, what's impossible for the believer? All things are possible. All things are possible. So you have to exercise the all things. You have to. It's not only through confession, but it's also in the action. It's like when your confession meets action, things happen. Things happen. I mean, things that, you know, Minister Lee Howe started a business this year. He confessed it, and then the action step was he took a step and made it happen. That's how you exercise faith. People think God's going to come down and just kick them in the head. Some, you know, there's been times I've needed kicked in the head. Amen. Be the first to tell anybody that. There's times I've needed kicked in the head. There might be a few more. Amen. But understand, God wants, He wants to, He's waiting on you to grow your faith. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there are a few things that we can grab a hold of to grow our faith. And listen, you're going to find it in the Word of God. And you're going to find it based in the relationship of Jesus Christ. You're going to find it based in the relationship of Jesus Christ. You know, I take Peter and John. These were unschooled men. You think about Moses and David. You know what their occupation was? They were shepherds. They were shepherds. Moses wrote the first five books of the Torah. He wrote the first five books in the Bible. He was a shepherd. David became a king. He was a shepherd boy that went to battle against a giant, 10 foot whatever. How tall was Goliath? What was he? 9'6". That's what, he was taller than that, wasn't he? That was Og, I believe. Anyway, he was big, right? David was a 12, 13 year old boy, scrawny, runny, and you know, even Saul said, "Here, take my armor, put my armor on." It wouldn't even fit him. It wouldn't fit. His armor wasn't going to cover David. Saul's armor was not, you know, it wasn't going to cover David. But he was an ordinary young boy. His brothers would have likely been a better choice to be the one that was anointed to be king, but no, it was David. And you know, David, you know, there was the waiting period. But David was a shepherd boy, guys. He was an ordinary guy. Nehemiah, the least of these. Nehemiah, you know, who am I? And what does God do with Nehemiah? They build the wall. Man, you know, throughout the Bible, you see it time and time again. Ordinary people used to do God's to do kingdom things, to do God's work. You're that ordinary. I'm an ordinary person. Amen. You know, I'm really, honestly, I'm practically a first generation Christian. You know, I don't remind myself of that, but I know something along the way that I've had to pave some things and work through some things so that my kids wouldn't have to go through things. Some, you know, my parents got saved, but they didn't grow up serving God. They didn't grow up in church. They got saved later in life, but you know, guys, listen to me tonight. Somebody in the family has to do it. That's how I've always prayed. You're telling me tonight who you got to see up at Revival today. I think I look back and I see what God has done with Hawaiians. Because there was a moment in time that you can't even, for us that were there, you couldn't even explain what God was doing. Because it was a miracle. It was a miracle. It was. He never had a revelation of finances. Or, you know, you guys understand. So you grow yourself in these things. You know, what are you allowing? What do you allow to come in to build faith? Amen. I'll be honest with you. You know, Pastor Mary and I, we pray and we try to keep things as well rounded as we can. As pastors, you do that. You got to stay sharp as a pastor. You know, you do that. And but man, I don't have every revelation. Yeah, you know, I was sitting last night with the guys, just listening to them talk, and I love that iron sharpens iron. Just hearing great go through the commentary of you know, some, bro, that's good. And then Brother Don chimed in and started preaching. I'm like, no, that's good. That's good. You know, it's that iron sharpens iron. Wasn't that was fun? Wasn't it? I mean. It's just, the stuff never gets old. I never get tired of it. Put yourself in it, amen? Put yourself in it. Praise God. You know, first thing, you got to have the revelation. You got to have the revelation and knowledge of the Word of God. You got to understand that you have authority as a believer. Believe that you have authority. That's what we're dealing with tonight. Unbelief is an enemy to faith. Believe that you have authority. Pastor Brad, believe you have authority. Over what? Over all things. Over all things. Over all things. Amen. Yeah, praise. Second, I said praise. Please, you got. I don't know. When we praise and when we do worship now, it's exciting in here, isn't it? Even on a Wednesday night, people clap, people dance, turn themselves around. You know, it's not the hokey pokey, but you know, it's people do that in here. You know, and it's awesome. I enjoy that. But you know what that took. And I please understand, and this is not a negative thing, but when we first started in this church, when we first started in this church, you know, Zane and Halama were here leading worship, and you know, it was in the first 4 or 5, 6 months, you know, people had never praised God. They had never worshiped. So a lot of times, I don't know if anybody's here that was there, but I don't think anybody is, but a lot of times people would come in and do this during worship. Get on their phones. And I'm like, I remember looking at Miranda one time and said, what are they doing? And I realized, what I realized that they had never been taught. They had, you know, and I think sometimes it's like, you know, I'm always mindful of that because people walk into a setting like Kings, man, you guys really worship the Lord. Yeah, we do. But you know what we did? We created a culture of praise. We taught the people. That's the you know everything is a the revelation. I had to get that revelation. Did anybody have to get that revelation in worship? I did. I know the first time I raised my hands, I'm like, am I supposed to do this? I'll put my hand down. You know, who am I raising my hands to? You know, that's how I felt because it was pride. God was dealing with pride. He was dealing with that stuff inside of me that was like, well, who am I raising my hands to? I ain't praising the pastor, right? Because that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with all that junk, unbelief. You know? You know, and honestly, you know, I tell funny stories now, but at times, you know, we'd have people come in, you know, looking for a church. And there would be like 8 or 10 of us. And like, you know, 12, 15, 20. Angela was here early. You probably remember some of that, don't you? Angela praised God, though. She did. You always have, so. But it's like, you know, people come in and just like, what's this? Oh, you know, got 7 people over there jumping up and down praising God. Got 4 people over here on their phones. This looks a little dysfunctional. I was like, okay, we got to change the meeting format. And we did, praise God. God gave us a different format. You pray. You keep believing. But, you know, I was never going to rebuke those 5 or 6, 7, 10 people that were praising the Lord. You know, I had to tell Halama one time, you know, because, you know, people are critics and everything. They want to critique your worship, and I don't like that song. You sing those African songs. You sing this song. You sing that. I don't like that song. You know, it's, yeah, whatever. So, I'm getting too far out there. Praise God, though. You need to praise God. You want revelation knowledge. Praise. You want breakthrough in faith. Praise God. And, you know, and thirdly, pray, you know, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your walk with God. You want to increase your faith level. Get more of the Word in you. Amen. Get more of the hearing of the Word in. You know, I said it the other day. You know, people, they don't like to read the Word. Listen to the Word then. You can cover a lot of Bible in a car. 30, 40 minutes. I've done pretty much the whole New Testament this year just listening to it, you know. That's another means or ways that I get the Word in me. Just, you get the Word in you. Pray. You know how else you get the Word? You pray. I guarantee you at 6 a.m., 8 a.m. in the morning, you're going to get the Word. We're reading the Word, right? We start off with reading the Word, both groups. But then But then we pray according. And many times you hear the word in every. You know, you hear the word. Is healing in the word? Amen. Is prosperity in the word? Is faith in the word? Is building the kingdom in the word? Amen. How do we pray in the morning time? Praying for your leaders, is that in the word? Unity of the church, is that in the word? I mean, it's like we're praying these things. Amen. You know what I love about it, though? We're seeing these things break open. I believe, and I'm going to close with, I'm still closing. I believe that we're making deposits in prayer right now. The very things that we're praying for are the very things we're watching manifest. We're watching manifest. People being healed, people's lives being changed, touched, transformed. Amen. Fairmont being changed, shaken. Amen. We're seeing those things. Praise God. That's all I got tonight. Amen. Amen.